Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you by God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. In 1776, the Declaration officially broke the ties of the British colonies in America from the rule of Britain. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So how's that pursuit of happiness turning out for you? Well, who doesn't want to be happy? The Barna organization, the Barna Group is a Christian research group, put this statement before people. The highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. 84% of Americans agreed, defining this as the pursuit of happiness. So how is the pursuit of happiness turning out for you? Let's start with a prayer. Oh God, we do have our happy moments. Sometimes we get away from work and take a wonderful vacation. Sometimes we experience love in our relationships. Sometimes we have money to pay some of the bills. But there are other times, times that are not happy. Help us think about what the pursuit of happiness really means. Teach us to look outside of ourselves and to you. Show us your Son, Jesus, who offers us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Let's go to a story of some people who were definitely not happy. This story comes from our Old Testament reading, the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It's from long ago, thousands of years ago, but it's relevant today because it shows us where to turn for true happiness. Here's the background. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. They turned to God for deliverance. And in time, God sent Moses and Aaron to lead them out of Egypt. After plagues and other terrifying experiences, God brought the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt. The setting for our story is the slavery is behind them, the promised land ahead of them. We peek on them in between, now in the wilderness. They have life and liberty, but they're sure not feeling the happiness. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I can get that. I'm sure you can as well. Happiness is often fleeting. Here today, it's gone tomorrow. Don't you also have days when the pursuit of happiness is not going well? Maybe an empty stomach, maybe an empty wallet, maybe an empty house, but all too often, an empty heart, an unhappy heart. So what's going on here? It's simple. The Israelites were turned in on themselves. They were anxious. They were in despair. Indeed, it was certainly not a good situation. Hopeless. They were not drawing any hope by turning to their history. Look how God freed us. Hopeless. They were not finding any hope by turning to their future. Can you imagine what a wonderful place God is leading us to? No, it's all about me and my feelings, all here and now. They were turned in on themselves. The God who freed them is now history. The God who says there will be a promised land seems irrelevant. Turned in on ourselves. Yes, I can understand that. Well, reading on. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there on the face of the wilderness, a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, manna, or what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. When they turned out from themselves and turned to God, they were satisfied. Were they happy with the quail, happy with the manna? Well, they must have been at the time, but let's be realistic. Would they have any more unhappy times? We know from the Bible they would. In fact, many more unhappy times were still ahead of them. But whether you were an Israelite back then, or you're sitting here in church today, life is lived in the present, in each and every now. And what changes now from unhappy to happy is where you turn. This story of the Israelites illustrates a great truth that the Bible teaches. Turn in on yourself and your happiness will be fleeting. Turn toward God and he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As I said earlier, the majority of Americans believe the highest goal in life is to enjoy it as much as possible. Interestingly, that's not what the founding fathers had in mind. That's just to keep you listening. If we think that the goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible, what is the pursuit of happiness getting us? Heather Davis wrote a book entitled Man Turned In on Himself. In it, she traces the history of this concept, man turned in on himself. And she shows how it explains so much of the unhappiness that people are experiencing in the 21st century. The concept of man turned in on himself goes back to St. Augustine, who lived in the late 4th and early 5th centuries. We turn from our Creator. We turn in on ourselves. We are turning away from the one who created and can sustain us in all our times, be they happy or unhappy. In fact, this concept is much older than St. Augustine. It goes back to the Bible, back to when God gave the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, he said to Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. He's telling them, I have created you. I have redeemed you. Turn away from yourself and turn to me. The subtitle of Heather Davis' book is Understanding Sin in 21st Century America. Oh my, she used the S word, sin. But that is exactly what it is when you and I turn away from God and focus on ourselves, sin. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. We don't. In making happiness the goal of our life, we're turning away from our Creator, who, as our Creator, knows what we need for true happiness. That is the cause of so many problems rampant in 21st century America. The author lists some of them: promiscuity, consumerism, obesity, narcissism, apathy, greed. These are just a few of the obvious displays of man turned in on himself in 21st century America. These behaviors, or the consequences of them, are visible and very often public. She goes on to say that each one of us acting as if we are God leads to chaos and distrust. Well, now that I am a bit older, I'm looking forward to retiring someday. I have, of course, done those things we're supposed to do to be able to retire, the 401k, the financial planner, the investments, the works. But I can tell you that during these times, there are days, many days, that I think that I will never be able to retire. I worry about it, just as many of you do. I try to figure another way, another plan. I worry about my wife and children. What will happen to them? As I was preparing for this sermon today, I realized that I have turned into myself, that I am not trusting God to provide as he has promised that he would. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 25, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Lord, help us to turn away from ourselves and to put you first above all things. Jesus used the story of the Israelites as the background to teach us precisely where to turn for lasting satisfaction. Again, as we should always do in reading the Bible, let's get the background. In John chapter 4, Jesus had talked with a woman at a well. She was getting water for her household. Here's what Jesus told her. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." In John chapter 6, we're back to bread. Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 people. Do you see the connection to our Old Testament story? In Exodus, the Israelites turned to the unseen God and were fed with quail and manna. In the New Testament, Jesus, seen and heard, feeds 5,000 hungry people in a desolate place. Get the connection? When we talk about turning to God, to whom do we turn? Jesus. He fulfills the Old Testament. That's the background. Now I read from John chapter 6. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus is referring to himself. He is the true bread come down from heaven who gives life to the world. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Does Jesus mean you'll never feel hungry or thirsty? No. Jesus is telling you there is something more than your feelings, be they unhappy, hungry feelings or happy, satisfied feelings. Jesus is inviting you to turn from yourself and turn to his words. He's telling you that your pursuit of happiness will only be satisfied when you look beyond your feelings to his word. Remember the connection. The feeding of the Israelites foreshadows Jesus, the true bread come down from heaven. In a similar fulfillment of prophecy, listen to this beautiful passage from Isaiah chapter 55. And in these words, you can hear Jesus inviting you to turn to him. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Because of Jesus, God forgives you and me for all the times that we have turned in on ourselves. Jesus was hungry and thirsty upon the cross, but his unhappy time wasn't about his feelings. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Jesus comes that you may have real life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And his life is better than anything we can find on our own. Jesus says, I am come that they may have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. And liberty? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. And the pursuit of happiness? Let me draw to a close by revisiting the Declaration of Independence. Thus far in today's message, I've been using the word happiness as people understand it today. But that's not the way the word was understood in 1776 when Thomas Jefferson used it in the Declaration of Independence. Listen to the Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy describe what happiness meant when America was founded. Happiness? In this era, happiness comes with a connotation of self-pleasure. There is a hedonistic component to the definition now. However, that's not what the framers meant. If you read George Washington, he uses the term happiness all the time, as did other members of the generation at the time of the founding. For them, happiness meant that feeling of self-worth and dignity you acquire by contributing to your community and its civic life. And that's the concept of happiness that we have to tell our young people is still within their grasp. So the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence is not about turning in for your own pleasure, but turning out of yourself to help others. For followers of Jesus, that means turning to Jesus as the one who frees us from our sin and gives us hope for today and hope for every tomorrow until we arrive at our heavenly promised land. And turn to Jesus, we turn to help others. Turning to Jesus is truly life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.